Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. On the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Souls, the channel Sports in Depth is the show. As always, welcome to the prayer. John Coltrane, legendary. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Asking you that you have your will and way. We thank you, Lord, for these things we so largely take for granted. And, dear Lord, you're God all by yourself. And we thank you, dear Lord, for your daughters and Jesus that died, that means we may have the right to see your body. Although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we live on a park bench. That's our family here, Brazil, and America, and worldwide. More important than your way, your will. Thank you for blessing for coming and seeing and acknowledge those of some, those who welcome all in merit. In the name of your daughters in Jesus, amen. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake, with another Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports Depth is the show. And we want to say happy birthday greetings tomorrow to the man who opens up Sports in Depth. Oh, yeah. You hear this voice here? That is none other than.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
It's amazing that someone that is a wonder himself, the number one African sportscast in history, New York City Radio, which makes him number one in the history of mankind. Now, Larry Hardesty would say that Larry celebrates his birthday tomorrow, so we're celebrating happy birthday to Larry now. I got an email out. He celebrates it with none other than Jose Canseco, the first man ever to do 40-40 in the history of Major League Baseball, 40 home runs and 40 RBIs, first on bases. Willie Mays would have been the first had they been 162-team schedule. Willie had 38 home runs, 42 RBIs, missed two games, but Jose was the first Barry Bonds. Became the first National League to do it, and to date, the only infield ever. None other than Alex Rodriguez. And Mariano Soriano had a shot at it. He had four stolen bases, 39 home runs. Remember going to the last game of the season that year, looking for home runs, and he could get 39 home runs, and stolen bases get 30-30. But let's set the wonder of our home Sports and Defamation. Mel Smith Jr., welcome to Sports and Defamation. We'll continue to show here live from Porto Alegre, Brazil. Ladies and gentlemen, Mel Smith Kelsell Jr., welcome you all to Sports and Defamation. The Blake, remember, take it away.
Thank you, Doctor. The Sports and Defamation is here. The Sports and Defamation panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr., I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that's Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Really, thanks so much. And in doing birthday salutations, we want to start off, as we should, the first lady of Blake Radio, Beatrice Shula. Celebrates birthday on the 11th of this month, so we want to send our kudos to who does such a tremendous job. And as you know, we're live from Porto Alegre, Brazil. As the month rounds up, the second tomorrow, birthday of Larry Hardesty and Jose Canseco, on the sixth, my sister Teresa celebrates another birthday along with the first man ever, African American wise, to manage New York Mets, the only second baseman in history of New York Yankees to never commit an error. Focus and play. None other than Willie the Wonder from Brownsville, Willie Randolph. And remember also Joey Goldstein, the legendary TR man, that play on his birthday. Fourth of July, is that the law? That's the law. It's all time. It's a player of all time. palms wrong. And this is a little birthday tribute of the first African American history of the United States military. And the last Amendment commander unit had a lieutenant colonel rank, which was slowly done at a full bird, which he became. And now, you know, he was working with Chief of Security of the White House under the Obama administration. Now he has been elevated to another level back into the penthouse. Colonel Robert L. Bethea Jr. celebrates his birthday on the 15th of this month. And along with that, we have to see Mr. Ricky Elias of Holland. Big month to my family reunion is this month. And my grandfather, from his birthday, June 26th to July 31st, had over about 15 grandchildren born. And if you look at my daughter and her son in the early part of the month, from the month of June to the end of July, over 16 to 17 great and great grandchildren were born to Bishop Paul M. Howard, whose classic line was, "If you die and go to hell and expect to see me there, you'll be sadly mistaken." It's a 30 minutes, and it's going to be probably just me and the Cosell. Rooney, we had concurred that we lacked Miami to win the championship. They came through, and you had asked such an apropos question. So many of your questions, as you got a coin at that point, well taken, the pressure put on LeBron James to win a championship. And you know, you look around at some other guys who never had that kind of pressure thrown upon them. I think probably the only guy besides him with that kind of inordinate pressure just upon him was the great Will Chamberlain. But LeBron, they won it. They've been in the finals back-to-back years. They can stay healthy, and that was one of the big keys. I think the thing that people don't look at was the big game he had when he scored 45 points against Boston, and then came back and got 30 the next day in Game 6 and 7 to get them past Boston and into the finals. And more importantly, you know, himself, along with Dwayne Wade and Bosch, as opposed to last year, were not healthy, and they still were able to beat a very outstanding young team. So a lot of kudos should be sent and saluted to him. And just in general, Rooney, I mean, he had a great season last year, MVP this year. It's like ho-hum, he's supposed to do it, but it was a team we both had picked. We liked them. Why were you going with Miami all the way, Rooney?
Well, I think that LeBron this year was on a mission, Doc. I really think that he was on a mission. What to him was a monumental and noble quest to win the title. He was focused. He was outstanding. He was brilliant. I'm going to use this name, Doc, and I feel a little funny, but he was Jordan-esque in his brilliance in these playoffs.
Well, I mean, it's the way to do it. I mean, there are those who say Jordan is the greatest player to play the game. He's a standard by which so many other players will be held up to and will not be able to equate. You know, the great Michael Jeffrey Jordan, and we want to take a time out and say once again, happy birthday to your great friend, Michael Gerald Tyson, yesterday, who celebrated another birthday along with Gilberto Ortiz, the Latin sportscaster on Brooklyn on Boxing. So we want to say hello to two giants in the world of sports and our society, Gilberto Ortiz and Michael Gerald Tyson. They celebrated birthdays yesterday. Yeah, I mean, you just can't say enough. I mean, he's a guy who won league MVP, playoff MVP, was on a mission, and more importantly, mission was accomplished.
And you know something, Doc? And I know that there are a lot of detractors, or at least maybe there was before this championship. But, you know, even though I think he's been in the league 7 or 8 years now, you know, you could already make the case, and seeing that he's won a championship and various MVPs, you could very easily make the case for him, Doc, even with the greats that have played this fine game and the brilliant practitioners who played it before him. You could make a case already, Doc, that he's one of the top 10 players to play this game.
Well, he's definitely in the top 20, and it's funny you say that, as I The other day was adding my, as NBA did their 50 greatest players in 1997, and as we go to 2007, looking at the 60 greatest players and adding 10 names, and we had done that with the Hoopsters some time back, and LeBron James would be one of the 10 names added, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, Reggie Miller, who should have been, I think, added to that first 50 list, Allen Iverson, 5, Tim Duncan, would be 6. I imagine we'd have to the big fella, the forward.
Doc, if I may, not to interrupt, but if I may, Doc, you know, if we were going to play this game, I love this. This is what I love so much, Doc, and you know I love speaking to you even off the air, because I always feel like I'm in Harvard and truly getting my graduating cum laude. When I talk to you, and you know that's the case. I mean, Doc, I mean, seriously, you know how we always do with this thing. The three centers, and I think you'd agree, the three centers are always on anybody's Hall of Fame list automatically. And you know that's Chamberlain, Russell, and Jabbar. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got Oscar and Jerry West, who I think can play in any time, anybody's top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts to fill this out with, you know, the various other guys, depending, I mean, if you want to put a Dr. J there or, you know, whatever the case may be. But as far as I'm concerned, Doc, you can put the three centers, you know, basically they're automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Oscar Robertson, Jerry West, guys like that would probably be on anybody's top 10 or just barely miss it list. And then you start to just fill it out with various guys, I guess, depending on your taste.
Yeah, you know, Julius Erving, when he picked his all-time team, and we want to say hello out here in Brazil, Fortaleza, Brazil, to our devout listener, Rosie, and I know she's, I wrote her town down. I always say she's right outside of Rio de Janeiro, but she is on air now. She doesn't miss a show live from Brazil, and we want to send out some birthday greetings, too. There's some birthday wishes in her family. We want to thank her for her dedication and her constant patronage and zeal and dedication to sports. Hello to Monica, my friend. She came tonight with her son and her husband, Ivo. That's called BDG. And he did a tremendous painting. He's a tremendous young artist. He's about 11 years old. And I remember last year he had, hello there, Rosie. We got your hello, saying hi to you and all your family there in Brazil. In fact, Rosie, can you write to me right now? Once again, spell out the town that you're in so I can mention it here live on here. And Skype is a wonderful, hello, hi to see you, Glazer. He did a beautiful drawing that I'm looking at now, Heart of Brazil. I've got to try to get him also to get some other things. Harold Weston Jr. has just joined us here. And, you know, one thing, too, we're talking about basketball, and the thing that was revealed, and something that I had spoke about on this show some time ago, and something that I think everybody knew, it was the Dream Team and the deletion of the great Isaiah Lloyd-Thomas. And last week there was a little documentary coming out that alluded to the fact that Isaiah was snubbed, deleted, and not allowed on the team. And it seems it was a situation that Mike had some sort of beef. And even there's some other things that Scottie Pippen had made some comments about, that Isaiah was the leader of the Detroit Pistons, and he used to get on the guys and make them play hard. And I'm like, Scottie, I mean, you couldn't have said that. I mean, isn't that what the great players do? Isn't that what leaders do, make the other guys better? What are they going to say? No, don't guard him. Let him go to the basket. Don't play hard. I mean, the Detroit Pistons won back-to-back NBA championships. They won the final 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row. And had they not gotten AIDS, it seems, right before our eyes, I mean, they were the wall that Jordan had to finally break down to get to the NBA championship. And had they stayed healthy, there's a very good chance that Jordan wouldn't have gotten as many championships as he had. If you look at that Detroit Pistons team, they were every way as good or better than the Pistons. The backcourt of Jordan and B.J. Armstrong, no way, shape, and form could compare to the backcourt of Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas. Bill Laimbeer in the middle defensively, outside jump shot, was very good as Cartwright. And then, okay, so you got Scotty up front with Horace, but you got, so they had Adrian Dantley, they had Mark McGuire, and they had Dennis Rodman. And Rodman, defensively, was Defensive Player of the Year and a great coach in Chuck Daly, a guy who gets not a lot of kudos. But I think it was always sad and touching is how Weston's great line is that these brothers couldn't get together. You know, it's something white people always will stop what they're doing, get together, and do what they can to hold off African Americans. It was just sad and touching that this little incident allowed Isaiah Thomas, who people forget, when his chance came to go to the Olympics, the United States boycotted. I mean, here's a guy who took a stand supporting this country from a political standpoint of view. And I just always felt that outside of Larry Bird, there shouldn't have been any other player, Caucasian-wise, that should have been on that team in the wake of the fact that you had Isaiah Thomas, you had Dominic Wilkins, guys who should have been there. I just didn't see any way in the world with John Stockton, and surely Chris Mullin was not of dream team quality. And it was just, as Howard Weston says, sad and touching that they couldn't unite and get this together. And Charles Barkley spoke about it, that he thought it was also a shame, and he thought it was unfair that this lifetime opportunity was not afforded. And unquestionably, Isaiah Thomas is one of the top 10 guards that ever played this game, top 7, and unquestionably one of the 50 greatest players, and has every prerequisite that you need. I mean, champion, MVP, all-star, so forth and so on. So that was a little sad and touch. And then I know the great sports writer Cliff Brown had told me that Isaiah had personally called Mike, said, hey, he wanted to be on the team. Mike Spoke said he had nothing to do with it. And I remember speaking to Isaiah, as me and Isaiah always spoke a lot. Thank God that was close. Doc Stanley, Sports Up on the Blake, with another Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Up for the show. Monica says, Doc, Melvin, you speak to us. Melvin, you speak so fast. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports and Depth of the Show. And I told Isaiah one time, if you ever listen to Isaiah broadcast game, you never heard any sarcasm, you never heard any bitterness, always praise, adulation, and appreciation of the game of the great Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And I said one time, I said, you know, Zeke, you know, what happened, man? I said, you know, you always stand-up guy, doing the right thing. And he told me something I'll never forget. He said, hey, he said, look, man, I got to look at myself in the mirror. And you got to look back at that situation. A lot of people had to look in the mirror there. I mean, Chuck Daly, Magic. I just didn't see how they could not let him on the team. But that's how it happened. We've got some talk here, Harold Weston with us. I'm hearing, and we got it from Birthday Boy yesterday, Gilberto Junebug Ortiz, that there's talk of a Miguel Cotto, Floyd Mayweather, too. Have you heard anything, Harold?
I mean, I'm getting word of that, but, I mean, I don't see the purpose of the fight. I mean, you know, it's just something. I guess they have nowhere else to go with something, and they just try and bring up some type of fight for Floyd when he comes out. When he comes out of jail and all that.
I heard that it's supposed to be Lady A, who's on assignment. It's supposed to be in the garden, and they're looking forward like December, Harold.
Well, that's a good possibility. I mean, that's a good time to put a fight like that at the Garden. You know what I'm saying? Would it withdraw? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's already beat, you know. Just say the word. I mean, Floyd Mayweather and Cotto. Does it sound, got any ring to it? No, it doesn't.
I was right about that, Doc.
I think we'll draw, but I don't think it's one of those pay-per-view fights that you really want to pay to see.
Because of who it is, Doc, like as Harold said, it will draw because of, you know, the two participants, who they are, and because it's in the Garden. And, you know, our huge Latin population fights fans. Of course, you know, so it'll draw here. But as Harold said, I really don't see the purpose of it. Same result, same way.
You know, and this is the saddest thing about boxing now, because now here you, what are you supposed to be having here, whatever championship fight is supposed to be? I don't know what it is, but you're supposed to have a fight that's supposed to be an attraction, and nobody's getting up high, you know, getting excited about it, and the guys that is trying to make this fight, all they looking at is seeing if they can make $2 out the deal. But the sport itself is drying up because you really ain't got no matches out there with fighters that people can really get excited about.
And
when did you get back, man?
No, the question is, when did you get back? You joined us last
week. I've been here. I called before. There was no shows.
No, we had. We looked at last week. We saw you come in. Well, listen, Dusty, what's the latest on this Cotto and Mayweather?
How you doing, man? How you mean? Say hello. How you doing? You okay? You fine? Harold Weston, okay. I heard you. How you doing?
And for the uninitiated, let me say that this is the beat of the dulcet tones and the golden voice of the great, the baby Lois, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my Lord, look at that. The
fabulous
back. Yeah, okay,
Doc,
you
start
asking a question. What is it?
Yeah, no, Dusty, we've got a good 10 minutes left. What's the word? The word is there's going to be a possible Cotto Mayweather 2. Your thoughts? Any truth to that? Because I know you're with the Ouija board people. And your thoughts? I mean, would the fight do well in the garden?
All this time in my lonely cell because you were gone, I was playing with my Ouija board. Yeah, but no, that's just rumors. I mean, they feel that it's a good moneymaker because of the fact that Cotto made such a good stand. But I don't think. I think this is just talk. I think it's just talk. I mean, they're trying to find a body for Canelo Alvarez, and they're not going to put Josecito Lopez there. He's a junior welterweight. And but they got Arislandi Lara there that might, and then you got Avery Brundage who fought last night, who knocked out Corey Spinks again. You have what's his name? Jesus Christ, the Mandingo Warrior who priced himself out of the fight. I don't know why. That would be a good match. You know, so, but I don't think, I would like to see it, to see if Cotto learned his lesson, but I'll be shocked if this happens. I mean, if Cotto rematches with Mayweather once he comes out, you know. I don't think he's going to take him. I think he's going to take an easy guy to get back in shape, you know.
The consensus is, and the Ortiz fight, and Harold gave his shot. He felt that Ortiz once again showed the Kool-Aid that runs in his veins. Lady B, on the other hand, Lady A, on the other hand, said that with the broken jaw and the blood in his mouth, he couldn't continue. Okay, let's get it straight from you, from the Latin side of this whole thing. Did he quit? And
let me give you a little story.
Tell us.
Okay, let me give you a little story. I'm going to try to knock it down, edit it by 2 seconds. When I saw him fight Josecito Lopez, 3 questions came up. Where was that dude who almost destroyed Lamont Peterson? And they fought to a draw, even though I thought Ortiz won. Then I said to myself, where was the vicious attacker of Andre Berto, who almost knocked out Andre Berto, who got off the canvas and dropped Andre Berto with a vicious left hook? Where was the vicious Ortiz who, at the bottom of the 3rd round and top of the 4th, was giving Floyd a run for his money until he got dumb and butted him? None of the 3 showed up with Josecito Lopez. This guy was tentative, gun-shy, looked like his mind was in Hawaii somewhere instead of at the fight. Looked like he didn't want to be there. He looked like he was forced there because the promoters had an open date and he had to fulfill that date, but he didn't want to be there. Gun-shy, tentative, and the time that he did fight, he was hurting Lopez. I mean, if you saw Lopez yesterday, he was interviewed by Steve Farhood. The guy still had purple and blue bruises all over his face. So he was hurting Lopez, and I thought he was going to knock him out somewhere in the 5th or 6th rounds. But I questioned the little streak in his back because of the fact, God forgive me, because a broken jaw is a broken jaw. But I remember Muhammad Ali going 10, 12, 15 rounds after Ken Norton broke his jaw. I remember Arthur Abraham with Pantera Miranda, not only one side of his jaw was broken, but the other side, he had a double broken jaw with that fight with Miranda. And the fact, and there's a little tidbit that came out of that fight that they couldn't even remove his mouthpiece in between rounds. He had to sip water from one side, you know, because if they open his jaw to get the mouthpiece out, they won't be able to put it back. So Abraham fought that way with a broken jaw all this time. So now I'm wondering, where is this guy grit? And, you know, he had the fight won. There was only, what was it, the three more rounds left. But if you saw him in the corner of the in the sixth or seventh round, Garcia, his trainer, was saying, "Vic, what's wrong? Talk to me. Talk to me. You know, is anything wrong talking to you?" And then he looked at him, and then he whispered something in Garcia's ear, because, you know, Garcia has a microphone on, so he whispered something. And Garcia, the little bit that I remember, said, "Well, you know, well, stay away, use your jab, box him, and move, and stay away, and, you know, and hold him. That's it." The jaw must have been injured or broken somewhere in the early fight. And this is, folks, if I'm lying, I'm dying. When they were exchanging punches in the ninth round, and Lopez hits him with that left hook, I said, "You stupid Ortiz, don't you know you got to keep your mouth closed? You're going to get your jaw broken." I'm serious. And I'm saying, look at this jackass fighting with his mouth open. He goes back to the ring. He goes back to the corner, and the fight stops because his jaw is broken. I said, "Holy crap." He did get his jaw broken, but I thought it was that left hook. I didn't think it was in the early round. So I don't think Ortiz wanted to be there. If he had won and the result was that he did fight with a broken jaw, at least he would have gotten out of there with grace, because he was injured. You could postpone the fight with Canelo Alvarez, get somebody else because he has a broken jaw, but at least he walked up with a victory. I think he quit.
Let me piggyback on some of that Dusty just said, Doc, and out. You know, there have been, now, obviously I haven't been a fighter on the level, obviously, of Harold and Dusty, champions. But I got to say, Doc, there have been some performances by Ortiz that would leave you to question how big his heart is.
Yeah, well, these two, Maidana and Josecito Flores. I mean, for God's sake, when Maidana knocked him down a second time, the referee was counting, ready to go. I'm not going to come. You know, I don't need this. You know, I got to go back home. Those are his words. I got to go back home and determine what's going to be my future. I said, "You punk, you going to quit on this sucker that you got him ready to knock him out?" No, and now he pulls this. I mean, easy for us to say, be critical. Harold can probably tell you stories of where our jaws were sore. So sore that was, "Oh, my God, I got my jaw broken." At times, I couldn't chew properly for 2 or 3 days. But, I mean, you don't
And
quit.
I'm playing the devil's advocate, Dusty. Playing devil's advocate to you and Harold. No, I've never had that. But I have heard, playing devil's advocate, that a broken jaw is absolutely brutal.
Oh, it is brutal. It is. I mean, you're walking around with steady pain. It doesn't go away. It doesn't subside by rinsing. You don't put the ice pack on your jaw. It doesn't go away. It's like pounding you the whole 3 freaking minutes, and you still got to concentrate on that gorilla who's going to knock the crap out of you. But so I'm looking at this guy. What was more important, to finish up injured and at least walked off with a victory, and then you can bow out because your jaw is broken, or to quit? He decided to quit. So this is
gentlemen,
where
hold
you,
on.
You
let's do Michael on lights off. Hold on. We'll be right back. Doc Stanley Sports Desk, Blake Ritter, Never Green Bowl, Solo Channel Sports Desk for the show. Michael on lights off. Larry Hardest, she will take us off. We'll be right back. Live your life today. Stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, early question is, what are you doing? Larry, come on in now real quick.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were 7 wonders of the universe, where here's the 8th, Doc Stanley.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Okay, Michael on Lights Up Live from Porto Alegre, Brazil. And we've got another good 15 minutes here. We got Dusty back and boxing. Of course,
are you still over there, Doc?
And Dusty, oh, yes.
Are you still in Brazil?
Still in Brazil. Live, once again, Father's Day. I gave you a shout on Father's Day. Okay, Dusty, we want to pick up with you and
yeah,
get back to Harold also. You've conferred that there is Kool-Aid running through his veins. You've conferred that Dr. Consuela and my man Juanito down there at the Ouija board convention, that there may be a photo. It was a fight. I've heard some things that all is not well and I know you know well, Top Rank Land. I've heard that Pacquiao has long wanted to leave Aaron and is trying to find a way out. Now, did Bradley win the fight, and is there some sort of outcry, the possibility of no Bradley rematch, him once again going to Marquez?
Well, that's the scuttlebutt, Doc. I mean, you're 55 million miles away, but you're getting the gossip firsthand. They're trying to shuffle Bradley out of the way and make a Marquez 4. And, you know, I see ESPN Latino, Golpe a Golpe, and Marquez said it. I was approached to fight Pacquiao a fourth time. And they're pulling Bradley for something else. I said, how true that is, I don't know. Like I said, boxing is a rumor mill, gossip and promoters cutting each other's throat. But the fact is that this is a Pacquiao. Pacquiao says, I want Bradley again, but they're playing some hoopy scoopies where he's going to get stuck with Marquez. Now, I spoke to somebody, one of the people who does Spanish radio. He says, The matter, and this is how you wallow. The guy says, the thing is, and this has not come out, I'm telling you guys for the first time, that Pacquiao's contract with Bob Arum is just about finished. So what is going on is that seems to be a big little whoopee scoopy to keep Bradley away from Pacquiao, because they're certain that Pacquiao can beat him and take the title. They want to keep the champion Bradley under the Top Rank and then Pacquiao fend for himself, finish Marquez, or Marquez will finish him, and he's gone through his political career. I mean, foreign intrigue, this is...
It seems like we're going through Cotto, Bob Arum, part two here. This is one of the problems that Cotto had, and if we look back, this is a continual history. It's the problem that Oscar had with him, problem that Mayweather had with him.
Absolutely. You forget, Dr. Fellas.
Yeah, I mean, after to the extent, they become no good to him anymore, Dusty.
Well, the fact is, Doctor, you forget. First of all, Top Rank's three top moneymakers, Oscar, Floyd, Cotto, they're gone, okay? The top dog in promotion now, whether you guys believe it or not, is guess what? Golden Boy. He spread more than a freaking rainstorm all over the place, including the new Nets Stadium in Brooklyn. He owns a 10 to 12 fight deal with these people. Nobody promotes it in that stadium except Golden Boy. Now what he's doing is that he's symbolically maybe, or systematically, or whatever the heck it is, squeezing out Top Rank because he has all the marbles in place. There was talk of a Canelo-Cotto fight. And if Cotto is ready to come back to fight in September. This was the first gossip after Canelo fought Chamo. He didn't look too good. And, of course, Cotto lost. Right then, that night, they said, well, you know, September's a long time. Could you mean Cotto cannot fight him in September? So the scuttlebutt is still going on. But, you know, the one who pulls the puppet strings is Golden Boy. So he probably can talk to his Puerto Rican pal. You know, after all, they do live in Puerto Rico together. They're practically neighbors. You know, Oscar married a Puerto Rican and called him Puerto Rico. You know, come on, let's have dinner. Man. Let's go have some cuchifritos and let's talk. Who knows? But the fact is that Pacquiao now wants Bradley, but they're trying to squeeze him out of there. And that's sad. Because the dude got robbed. I mean, big time. This is a worse robbery than the Brinks, man. It took everything from him. So now he's nobody, you know. So, but it's sad. But we don't control this. It's the promoters are controlling this. And the guy, like I said, the guy who's in the driver's seat is Oscar. Oscar has all the models in place, you know. So, you know, I don't know what else to tell you except that this is what they're doing. Who does Aaron have? Oh yeah, Brandon Rios, Timothy Bradley. He has a few other Mexicans, but no top flash the way Golden Boy has, and that's the problem here. You know, and then there was an article that said that now Pacquiao, because of his loss, is not the moneymaker, and he has no right to ask for parity with Floyd Mayweather if they do fight, because after all, he lost his title. So what's going to happen to Pacquiao? Pacquiao says, okay, later for you, man. I'm going back home. I'm 33, 34. I'm going to concentrate on my political career, and the fight's over. My career's over. So, you know, it's a very sad thing, but what can you do? Nothing.
Okay, the man who gave us that great line said, and such, and Harold, you've been quiet too long. Let's say something, Harold.
Yeah, Harold, slap me around, Harold. Go ahead, man.
Well, you know, I just feel what they're doing is really nonsense because Bradley he can't bring nothing to the table. That don't make no sense.
Heck no.
And the fact is that Pacquiao is the only. I will take Pacquiao without any title and still do a million people going to buy to see his fight. Okay?
You're right.
Pacquiao never had a title. He don't need no title. All right, that's what people don't understand. He don't need no title. And on top of that, the WBO last week or 2 weeks ago already looked at the film. They wanted to get Pacquiao and make the fight a no contest after the four or five judges who sat there and watched the fight from the WBO.
Right.
Pacquiao
oh, you saw that too, right. Uh-huh.
And Pacquiao is the one that said they was getting ready to take the title away from Bradley. But Pacquiao
exactly.
was the one that said, all I want is the rematch. Now
rematch,
that's
right.
already a clause in the deal. That Bradley's got to fight Manny Pacquiao for the WBO championship. So Aram don't have no say so in that situation. But my point
right.
is that you know the real drawing card and the excitement of the whole thing is Manny Pacquiao. Now
yeah.
what Aram is doing and everything, if they did the hokey pokey of stealing the decision, which they did. To try to keep Manny Pacquiao around, then I think it was a foolish on their part. But at the same time, you know, you ain't dealing with no rocket scientists here either. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you still got Aram's son-in-law who's supposed to be running things. Aram is getting ready to get out of boxing. He's 87 years old. Him and Don is getting ready to get the heck out of it. What, can they go another five more years? Give me a break. Okay,
right.
Give me a break. You're talking about guys that are 83, 84 years old. I mean, everybody is starting to fade away. So my point is
is he handing the whole top rank to his son-in-law, DeBuff, Star DeBuff?
I mean, it doesn't have no value to it. You know what I'm saying?
I see.
It doesn't have no value. If those guys, those champions had any value to it, yes, I can
right.
say, okay, it's something to talk about, and it's something that we have to do some negotiation. But none of the guys that you've been mentioning or talking about has no value. One guy's in jail, the other guy's in the Philippines, and,
right.
and we're at all these so-called champions, who has value? Who has a draw to do pay-per-view? And that's the downfall of it. So now we're sitting around. Now we're going to sit around and talk about Cotto and Mayweather.
Right
now, no doubt.
Well, isn't that a ploy, Harold, to whet our appetites and keep us curious and keep us anticipating and keep us waiting and waiting and hoping and waiting and waiting and hoping so that the final nail on the coffin of boxing does not go in. So they keep feeding us in little sound bites.
Isn't Cotto free from Aram too?
Broke his contract. Yeah, December 31st. Yeah.
Right. So Cotto's trying to do is deal with his team dealing with Mayweather to do a fight for himself for their promotion. That's all that is. It ain't even about no championship or trying to win. All that is trying to put some money in their pockets and saying that they're promoters of their own show. That's all it basically is.
Well, that's exactly what Floyd has been saying, but nobody listens to Floyd. That's what he was saying. He says titles don't mean nothing. Those title belts are only good enough to hold up the pants or conversation piece.
You got to be the superstar that can hold that hold your own pants up. Everybody can't hold their own pants up. Okay. All these guys have got these funny ass belts running around. They need to okay.
Right.
And so basically that's what's keeping them alive. But at the same time, you know when you're Floyd Mayweather or you are Manny Pacquiao, you don't need that belt. You got your own belt.
Exactly. You got the popularity
belt.
You have the marquee fighter.
Those guys happens to be a money belt that they keep around their waist. That's the belt that's the most
general.
Show live before the ladies of Brazil. Gentlemen, let's take a quick break. We want to send once again. Do our birthday run tomorrow. Larry Hardesty, greatest African sportscast in history of New York City Radio, along with Jose Canseco, the first Hispanic and the first baseball player ever to do 40-40. Happy birthday on the 6th to my beloved sister Teresa, and to Willie Randolph, the first African-American manager of the New York Mets and the only second baseman in New York history to never commit an error in postseason play, World Series or playoff. 15th, the birthday of the first African-American commander of the JCSU unit, the history of the military, that's a unit at the Air Force, rise up, Robert L. Pace Jr., who was a light colonel at the time, commanding a colonel spot, now he's a full-bird colonel. We want to say happy birthday to him. We look through the rest of the month. Big birthday here, Jerry Reese, our good buddy, the GM of the world champion. Giants, and also we want to say happy birthday remembering Joey Goldstein on the 20th, and thank Louis Saxon Armstrong celebrated on the 4th along with Force. Alex Rodriguez, 27th is much, an exact month after Doctor's year. Now the all-time tied with Lou Gehrig for the all-time hitter of Grand Slam in the baseball history. Tremendous number this kid has got. He's only in field with 40-40. He has the most Grand Slams along with Lou Gehrig in baseball history. Over 600 home runs. Oswald Rivers has proven to be not a great player, but a great, great player. And for my money, the greatest all-around shortstop in the history of baseball. So we just want to take some time out and acknowledge some of those great people. And remembering also the 28th of this month is the birthday of the greatest African-American fortune. Answer that news, Howie Evans, and the birthday of the late Bill Shannon. We're talking boxing. We're talking Pacquiao. We're talking Mayweather. We're talking everybody. We're talking Kool-Aid running through your veins. And we're talking plenty of belts around the waist. Gentlemen, what's going to happen now? I mean, we don't know if it was Cotto. We don't know what's happening. Well, you have an Ortiz. Alvarez seems to be the same guy. Who, in your estimation, Dusty, is eventually going to fight Alvarez? I mean, is it you? Is it you or Harold? I mean, the way it's going now, you two guys got a better shot than anybody else.
I'll start training today. But what I'm saying, you see, you got a Grand Central Station. The most busiest weight classification, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, Harold, correct me if I'm wrong, are between the 140s and 160. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you got Sergio Martinez locked up to fight Julio Cesar Chavez. And let me tell you, I'm going to go on record. I think Chavez has a chance to beat Martinez. Okay, so that's
really
one that aside.
Do you think Sylvester will win that rumble?
Yeah. I believe the way I saw him fight the last two times, I know that Sergio Martinez hits hard and all, he's shifty. But I think Chavez has a chance to beat him. But anyway, let's go back to it. The 140, 154, 160 are the biggest class. Now, they're going to, they want to fight, excuse me, they want to find an opponent for Alvarez. I mean, like I said, the top choice should have been Cotto after losing to Floyd. Now, there are other guys. There are other guys, hey, who could give him a run for his money. You can forget Alfredo Angulo because I don't know if you guys know him. He's in deportation prison. He's been there 6-7 months. Something about his visa, and they picked him up and they locked him, and they will not let him go. They will not parole him. I don't know. The guy's wasting his time out there. But there are other good junior middleweights to keep the future golden boy busy. But everybody keeps hemming and hawing, and they were talking about, well, the winner between Ortiz and Josecito Lopez will win. I said, how the heck can this Josecito Lopez, who's a junior welterweight, who popped up to fight Ortiz, is going to go up to 54? Nonsense. That's ridiculous nonsense. There are rumors that he's going to get paid off with Devon Alexander to defend his title. That stays in the 47-pound rank. But they aren't. There's nothing wrong with Brundage. I mean, as sloppy as he looked yesterday, he has a title. There's nothing wrong with the Mandingo Warrior, and there's Arislandi Landa, Arislandi Lara. Tough Cuban name. Anyway, but those are three guys that they can find, unless they get Sergio Martinez to come down to 54. Now this is the dichotomy here, folks. They have two major fights on that same day. Okay? Canelo Alvarez locked up his foot. Now they got a final body for him. But Chavez and Martinez are locked up to fight on the same day. Chavez and Martinez, Showtime, and Canelo Alvarez on HBO on the same day. They're working
Alvarez
on the mechanics.
Alvarez is very strong but very green, Dust. Alvarez is very strong but very green.
Yeah, he's green. This is why it would be a good fight for Miguel Cotto. So I don't know why he didn't say, okay, I'll rest up a couple of weeks when I get a couple of tequilas and relax and party, and let me go back to the gym. That's a shot for him to get a title back. But no word from Cotto, no word from anybody. Brundage, not Brundage, I keep saying Brundage. James Kirkland pulled himself out. He wanted more money. But wait a minute, Kirkland, who are you? You know, who are you? Unfortunately, a great match, which I thought was going to be an upset, was Paul Williams and Canelo Alvarez. And guess what? I had Paul Williams winning that fight if it ever came through. But, of course, unfortunately, tragically, it's not going to happen. But that was a good match for Paul Williams. But the fact of the matter is, who can you guys think can give Canelo Alvarez a run for his money? Another Shane Mosley? Forget about it, man. Who's there except Lara, Kirkland, you know, and Brundage, who fought last night. And Brundage says, hey, I'm ready to fight Alvarez. Nobody wants to fight him. I'll fight him in September.
Hey, Doug, that'll be the one fight. Thing about it all. He said all those names.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't even know who those guys are.
You don't know who that is funny. Contenders that we have today, Arrow. those are the threats to Canelo Alvarez's title. That's
oh,
all
they
have.
Are.
They
oh, okay. I mean, because I didn't know
exactly.
Who they are. So, I mean, if I don't know them, how they gonna draw?
I know. This is why you made me laugh. And thanks, I needed a laugh. But the thing is that the state of boxing is the way you described it, Harold. Who are these nobodies?
Right.
Yesterday, I'm looking at Brundage and I'm looking at Corey Spinks. How the heck did these guys ever, one, become contenders, and number two, get to wear a title belt? Hey, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, and this
yeah.
is the thing about these guys that don't know how to promote fighters and don't know what to do with their fighters. Like I said, they bring their fighters along with, you know, get these 20 wins, 30 wins. And then talk
yeah.
about they're a big star and they got these phony belts running around. But my point is,
exactly.
is that after you named all those guys and threw them out there and made these matches, I didn't even know who the heck they are. It's like, who are they?
Exactly. But that's what That's the state, like you've been saying, Harold, this is the state of boxing. Who are these unknowns? Who are these pretenders? Who are these people here?
Dusty, let me say this. If you are a former fighter and also obviously a reporter, and Harold's a world-famous fighter and world-famous matchmaker, and you don't know when these guys, who the hell these guys are, then well, no wonder MMA and whatnot is taking a huge share of the boxing crowd.
Yeah, absolutely, because they're digging up this, they're digging up these bodies and giving. Look, I was just reading a book. My coincidence. I'm reading a book on Archie Moore. The man had over 200 fights. He won 186 or 87 fights. He scored something like 120 knockouts. I'm saying, my Lord, imagine what he would do with today's crop. And this is only Archie Moore, okay? Ray Robinson has something like 117 fights all told his entire career. So what I'm saying, these guys come out of nowhere, 20-0, 15-0, 12-0, 29-1, 20 knockouts, and they're champs. They're contenders, they're pretenders, they're this, that, and the other. The only claim to fame is Lara, in a sense that he's had 330 amateur fights, won two Olympic gold medals, international Cuban team, and the whole. But what is he doing in the pros? 16, 17 fights, 11 knockouts, and he's ready to get a title shot? He fought yesterday on Showtime on the semifinal, a 10-rounder. I said, for God's sake, where these guys come from? But this is the climate of the boxing business. These are the guys that are straight from the bottom.
You know what that reminds me of, Dusty?
Yeah,
I was covering some fight many years ago. I can't remember exactly who it was. And in walks Mustafa Hamsel. So I say, Mustafa, are these guys getting the title? I'm sorry, Dust? No, in walks Mustafa Hamsel. So I say, Mustafa, are these guys 17, 18 fights getting title shots? You know, too early, way too quickly. These guys know their craft. And he says, in that rough voice of his, Dusty, these guys know tough like me, Agla.
Well, it's true. Mustafa Hamsel was a freaking warrior, man. He was a warrior, man. He was a tough dude. I mean, you wonder, but that's the climate of the boxing today. And the thing that I like, even though Harold is totally 1,000% right in the climate of the talent. These guys are making money. Okay? I'm looking at the dollar cents. I mean, we were nothing but wage earners, man. Chump change wage earners, at least in my day. These guys are making a pretty good, decent salary. The four rounders are $1,000 or maybe $2,000. I mean, you know, they're making money as opposed to the time when I was trying to make money. The guy owns a title, like comically, the super bantamweight Latino world title sponsored by the WBO. The guy picks up maybe $25,000 defending that little stupid little title. If he fights 20 times and defends successfully 20 times, he's made a pretty good piece of change and he can retire, take care of his family. That's the only thing that I don't cry too much about, the lack of talent, because these guys are making some decent money to take back home to the family. The titles don't mean crap, but of course. The big money maker, of course, is Floyd, who this is why you cannot argue against that he is the big money maker, because his fights, he set a price on his title fight. He set a price on fights. You want me to fight? Okay, this is my price, 25 and up. And that's exactly what it was. When he fought Cotto, his regular guaranteed price was $32 million. They had not counted on adding up the pay-per-view, which they estimated that he would make between $60 and $70 million.
It can be the second highest non-grossing non-heavyweight fight outside of, ironically,
exactly,
the first one with him and gentlemen, we've got to get ready to run here. We're in the closing minutes here, live from Fort Lazer, Brazil. Dusty has resurfaced. He'll be back with us next week. As always, Harold Weston Jr. Rooney, tell everybody good night and let's roll.
Okay. Hey,
thank
call
you,
me, Doc. What's going on? Let me see what you're doing, man.
The Sports in Depth Nation has been here. The Sports in Depth panel has been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink's been here, and that is Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen. Dusty, I have called you, but between you with Consuela, Henrique Gomez with the Ouija board, and the number, I mean, so I called you for Father's Day, but okay, I'll get back to you. Gentlemen, as always, a great line for Walt Whitman. I know thou deserve my enemies, as thou deserve my friends. Leave me three thoughts. Live your life today after stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? The Son of Man came to serve and not be served. Harold Weston Jr., the state old baby lost. Yeah, he lives. He did play the Mulan. That's why he got a little later than everybody else. And Mel Jr., Larry Hardesty, who closes out the show. Once again, we want to say happy birthday to him and the First Lady of Radio, Deirdre Shuler, 11. But tomorrow, Larry Hardesty and Jose Canseco, the first man to do 40-40 in baseball history, celebrate another birthday. And with that, from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all. Dusty, so good to hear from you again. I'll talk to you. Next time I'm going to call you.
God bless you, Doc. Thank God. Keep safe, man.
Keep on your collect.
Keep in contact. Fellas,
and
God bless, man.
When I
good
call,
to get back
listen, when I call, I don't want to act like some of you walking the dog. Pick up that collect call, baby. Larry Hardesty.
God bless. Take care.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Tonight, you heard the panel, Destino Baby Lewis, former boxing champion and retired fire lieutenant, Harold Weston Jr., the first ever African-American matchmaker at Madison Square Garden and another world champion, Mel Cosell Smith, WWF star, and also gentlemen, the Lady A on assignment, as well as Sea Wings, and also Lewis Hart the Hoopster. Miami Heat won the NBA championship. Dusty will be back next week. He was on assignment, and don't worry about it. We will get him a car instead of the mule. But we thank you for being with us. Leave me with two thoughts. Live your life today and stand before God tomorrow. Life's oldest question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others. You need to pay for your space enough. Live from Fortaleza, Brazil. I want to say hello to Monica and also Rosie. And yes, we will all donate and get Dusty another mule. But we will not pay.
Take care.